Hi, good morning everyone who are in the class, and many of the students who will be watching this online session. And we have our guest speaker today, and his name is Simu Panala. I requested him last time. He came to the class and students really loved the session. I hear very positive feedback, and I requested him again to come to the class and share his experiences, what he has been doing. And thanks a lot, Simu, for your time. And with this, I think I leave the floor to you.
Thank
and
you.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So yesterday we learned about opportunity identification and evaluation. So since this is introduction to entrepreneurship class, and my background is I'm coming from an IT background. I don't have any business background. So I found it very valuable about entrepreneurship. And yeah, that's what we have been learned from Sophia. And so far, the information is quite valuable, how to understand the entrepreneur's mindset, so which I have never learned about in my previous courses.
About myself and my journey, and because I'm a lazy person, so I asked this morning from the IEPROC, from the X. I'm an entrepreneur from here in Jyväskylä. I do lots of on the real estate businesses. That's like my main focus is on the real estate, buying and selling. And that's how I made my money on the first days. Then I started doing the investing on the startups and also building more companies. And one of the main things that I do is usually I try to find the persons who already has done it. Like same here, I ask from Krok, who am I? And he tells me, who am I on the internet? And the same thing on the businesses. There's always people who has done it already. They know all the steps to get on your goal. They already have the connections. They have the capital. They just need to... Well, you first need to convince them that they want to help you. And to do that, the easiest way is to really be interested about them. Because people really like to talk about themselves. So that's why it's more like connecting, having a connection with people. It's AI, it's a real estate, it's a technology company or whatever. You just need to find the connections over there and figure out how to study them. And here in Finland, for example, it's very easy. You can just call almost to anyone. You can even call to the prime minister here in Finland. So it's very easy to make those connections. If you compare, for example, the United States, it's very hard to make those connections on the top players. But here in Finland or in Nordics, in even Europe, it's very easy. You can literally just call them and ask them, hey, do you have like a 15 minutes to me? I have a few questions. I'd like to know how you think, how you do your business, and how would you advise someone who likes to be like you? And from my own experience, most of them are really open-minded. Usually people who are on top of their industry, they are very open-minded and they really like to share if they have time. That's the essence. It's more like that you need to find the way to make yourself valuable for them. So they will make the time for you and you can learn them and just copy it. You don't need to start doing anything from the scratch. You can just find those people who have already done it and they will help you. That's my story. Before I started to be an entrepreneur, I was working on the investment bank here in Finland. They fired my ass out of there, so I was unemployed. And then I started thinking that, okay, most of the people that I knew, they made their money with the real estate. And I was thinking, okay, real estate, those are quite simple things, but what should I know? Because I don't really care about the real estate. I'm not really like into it. So I started calling the people who already are millionaires on the real estate business. Hey, I don't have money. I don't have a job. What would you do in my position? And what would be the steps to take to go from zero to hero? And surprisingly, almost every one of them answered to me and they were super helpful. They teach me how to look the real estate, how to look the properties, how to talk with the bank, how to get customers to buy your apartments when you buy them. And I started with the small. I had like two apartments first. Then I had four, then I was growing. And in this year, we have bought over 200 apartments alone. Last year, we sell 300 apartments around-ish. And everything started from that I started asking the right questions from the people who already had the answers. So I didn't really need to study or nothing. I haven't been in university. My degree is only from the high school, so I'm a bit lazy with the school, lazy with everything, to be honest. But I found that it's everything is between the people. So if you find the right people, they will help you to go wherever you want to go. And then you just need to show them that you are ready to do the hard work and you do what they are advising for you. And that's really, it's like the boosting power on you. But what you want to do is you always need, I like to call them as a mentors. Mentors are helping you. They are opening the doors. It's much easier when you are not doing like the rookie mistakes because they are with you over there. And also when you start doing your business and they see that you succeed, they start to be your partners. So that's the one way to get all the investors, advice, board members and everything because they already know you and they are already on the industry. And they will open the doors and tell good words about you. So you don't really need to struggle like most of us are doing. I was struggling in the investment banking. It was hard as fuck. But after that, when I started entrepreneuring, I understand it's more like about the people. And of course, the hard work that you need to do it by yourself. But when you are ready to do that hard work and the people see that you are really like going forward, they will boost you to go bigger and better. And that's the same mindset that I use on the startups and on my own investments. Because I don't really believe that every one of us need to know everything. That's the reason why we have the AI like a Grok, that they will help us. It's the same thing with the people. When I need to learn something about the new industry when I'm investing, like I'm investing in medical industry right now, I have no clue how it works. So I start making those calls again. Hey, I'm investing in medical companies. Do you have any of them on your mind? I have a few opportunities here. You want to take a look with them? Look them with me. And at most of the professionals on the medical industry, they, of course, ask questions about me from people I know and they know. And when they are like saying, hey, Simo is a great guy, very open-minded, very great mind, very hardworking, strategic mind, it's much easier to have that call or meeting because I can just call someone, hey, you know, Sifuan, can you arrange a meeting for us or can you arrange a call for me? So I can ask you questions about my new investments and can take a look at it. And when I meet them, first rule is that I talk little as possible about myself. No one really care about me. Most of us just want to tell our own story. Opportunity to do that. So when I meet them, I start ask, hey, how did you get where you are right now? What is your like mindset? How do you think strategically? What do you think on the market right now? What are the biggest opportunities and what are the biggest like mistakes that people are doing right now? So they can start talking about themselves and how they see the world. You learn so much. And same time, they start asking questions about you because you are interested about them. Don't be like typical Finn who just go there with the note and start asking questions. That's something that we learn in the school. Go there, have a questions and ask them. Be interested about the person you are meeting because that's the reason why you are there. Even if you need something from that person, you still need about him or her. So they start to be more open to you because, well, we are all persons. And because the world is really small, like my business partners and mentors, they are like United States, Paris, Dubai, Switzerland, Netherlands, Australia. All of them. Oh, once a year to meet, you can invite them to meet you. You don't really need to be there to do business with them. And one of the superpowers that we have here in Nordics is that we are really, we don't do like small talk. We don't do it like bullshitting and stuff like that. So that's something that really is cutting. I'm speaking quite bad English, to be honest, but no one gives a fuck. Long as they understand what I'm saying. And that's why it's very easy to go there because when I'm speaking my rally English, they also speak simple words to me. So I understand. Quite simple way. It makes more understandable, more trustworthy, and most of all, it's very, when you like use that much those nice words or very strange words or like more like what we want to do, when we want to do it, how are you? We keep it very simple. That's one thing on top players in the industries, they keep it simple. Like you are seeing my PowerPoint, it's not that beautiful or not that amazing. It's just black and white. And well, it's make more easier also the decision making. There's just a few things to consider because all the other things, the lawyers will handle them. Then we have all the professionals who make you all the studies that you need to do. But the decision making has to be very simple. And if you make it to be more complicated, you probably are not going to get any decision. If you are like talking with the investors or you are selling something or you want to buy something, long as you keep it simple, it's much easier for everyone. That's something that I have seen when I meet people on the different kind of gatherings. They always are telling like those great stories and using super complicated words. And they are trying to make themselves look very intelligent. From my point of view, no one gives a fuck about that. It's more, who are you? What you're going to do? What have you achieved? Why you want to do this? How you going to achieve it? Those are very simple questions. So you don't need to be nothing else than yourself. Because when you are yourself, like truly yourself, it's so much easier to work with you. Because you are not trying to be something or someone. You are honest. You can tell your mistakes. You can tell your stupid ideas. And then they can tell you, this ain't going to work. Do it that way. So you will learn on the same time from the people. That's one of the entrepreneurial mindset, is that you learn from people who are smarter than you, just telling them things very straightforward way. And don't try to make it to be too ready to market. Just tell your idea and ask the question, how would you do that? Then you will learn how he or she sees the world, the market, your business opportunity, and then you can really like start putting them together, and you have like a great business idea and strategy already without doing that much work. Because you can just get that information from the people. You don't need to do it on yourself on the laptop with the AI at home when you can just talk with the people. And these are a few of my companies. And one thing that's common with all of these companies is that they had the idea, but they have like no clue how to do it or should we do it. So we start asking the questions, the right questions from the right people. For example, when I did my first million on the real estate, I was start thinking that I want to do something else because real estate is quite boring game. And I was always wanted to do international work, like working with outside of Finland also. Well, I didn't have a degree or nothing, so it was quite hard to get a job. But because I was already doing my entrepreneurial things, I was thinking, hey, I would like to go in the Middle East. Reason? Well, I traveled in Dubai and it was amazing, in my opinion, the place. There's many questions that we can talk about how they do the things over there, but as a holiday, Dubai is a very nice place. So I started thinking that it would be super nice to bring companies from the Nordics to here in Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, because there's plenty of money and opportunities. Then I found one Finnish guy who was working on the Dubai and already doing that. So I found the person who knows him. I make him a call. Hey, my name is Simo. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm doing great with the real estate, but I wanted to start doing something. He was like, okay, why? And I thought, well, I've been always very interested about this. I don't know nothing about it, but I want to learn. I'm a fast learner and I will do hard work. Just point me in a direction. I will run. Then we start having calls. We talk about it. Then we start doing, okay, just find the business. Let's have a meeting together and let's start there. So I find the first company that liked to go on the Middle East. We had a meeting. That didn't went that well. But then we start having more meetings. And I start asking guys, hey, who wants to go on the Middle East? I will help you. And then we start to be partners. That's how I start to be a partner on the frontier. We have bring in Middle East around 250 companies from the Nordics. And that's the small story behind of it. Then we have this company named Vellamo, the water company. It's a Finnish mineral water. Well, all of you are here in Finland, so we don't really think that water. But in out there, for example, in the United States, the water market is booming. So we make it look nice. Then we brand it. Commercials on the Super Bowl, and we are selling Finnish water in the United States around. Well, that's a lot of money from just a bottle of water, and it's all about the branding game. And find the right market. Here in Finland, no one is ready to buy your water in 15 euros. Here we are selling just around 2 euros a bottle. United States, we got 15. That's the thing, that you need to find the right market and the right people to go somewhere and make the money, because your own market might not be the best place to do it. Then, for example, when we have lots of meetings with companies and we have these companies that we branded very well, we start thinking that, hey, because people are asking advices from us, we can start to do marketing. So then we opened the Koa Communication. It's a company in Australia who is doing branding work. We have been branding like Hotel Versace in Dubai. We have been working with Miss Australia concept, Miss concept. We are also branding Europe and the Middle East. And that's just like a spin-off. We are already doing it on the companies like Bellamo, Frontier, X-Flight, Valo. So then we started thinking, okay, we can sell our know-how. And the funny thing on the marketing companies is that you don't really need employees these days. When you find a company, let's say I found let's say that company sent me an email, hey, could you help us with the branding and marketing? And I'm like, okay, I don't know nothing about, for example, we had Kia car. They were launching the Stinger. Well, I'm not really a car guy, so I don't really understand nothing about them. So we found a guy named Pedro from the Portugal, who is like a mastermind on the car marketing. So we give him a call. Hey, Pedro, would you do this for us? Let's share the cake. You handle the customer, you handle the real work. And he was like, all right, that sounds great. I can do it on the evenings. So handle the customer, I will do all the things for the Kia. And that's how we started doing it together. So you don't really have like employees. You don't need to have a huge network. You can just Google people. You can find out from the AI who is great to do that. Just give him a call, email, and tell you what you're thinking and what's your idea and strategy. And if you have customer ready, but you can't do nothing for them, there's someone who is willing to do all the work for you. There's like many ways how to do it. And it's the same thing when you have like ideas like X-Flight. It's a private aviation company here in Finland. Together in the middle of the corona, because when corona was worldwide, it was very hard to travel, as some of you might remember. But private aviation was not under any restriction. So on private plane, you can just go from country to country if you want that time. Well, of course, we had 10 people on the board. And the first reason was that every one of us wanted to have like our own plane. Then we start thinking how to make money with it. So you don't need to spend money to having your own plane, that you can have money from the others and have your own plane. So it's more like a free plane for yourself. And then we start just making calls. Hey, how much you're flying? How much the corona is affecting on your business? Do you need to travel on the Nordics? Do you need to travel somewhere else? Hey, your company has great numbers. How hard is traveling these days with the corona? And then we start just selling. Just try to find the customers, just asking the right questions from everybody. Most of them said no, but we just needed the 10 people. That's it. So that's why it's very, very important to understand the numbers and also what you are selling. Like on the water, we are not really selling the water, we are selling the idea that you can have something more nice for yourself. You can have something that you can post on the Instagram. Have something on the tune that people... We are selling the idea that what you can be when you have our bottle of water on your hand in the United States. Same thing on the... in almost every company nowadays. And... we're not really selling the solution. It's more like you are selling something else. The feeling is most important thing. Same thing on the real estate. If you think like the real estate market, it's very boring. There are like big players, construction companies. So you need to start selling something else than just a piece of the real estate. So we start selling the opportunity. We we are buying like the whole block. So we have like 20 apartments at once. And then we start just calling it, hey, we will buy this block. You can have it cheaper, easier, and we have already the bank ready to finance you. Opportunity, not really the real estate piece. It's more like opportunity to buy real estate more easy than with the others. You need to go in the bank yourself, we handle that side. You need to think it's the good one, we handle that side. You don't need to think, do you get the rent? We handle that side. So it's much easier and more simple decisions to start to be like a real estate investor. Someone else is taking care of the major problem. Same thing on the companies. Most of the time you are just going out there and solving problems for others. And how do you know what are the problems on the market? Asking the right questions. Go out there. If you need to find out why, for example, if you want to, let's say you want to open your own web store. And same time you're thinking, okay, who knows about the web store? Well, there's plenty of guys on the LinkedIn who are bragging there that I'm the best web store developer ever. What should I consider if I'm open it? How much it costs if you do it? How much it costs if someone else is doing it? If you are not the one who is doing it, who would you say is the best after you? Questions. Then you have already like five different places where to ask the price and ask advices for the web store. All right, then you need the product. Do you want to start doing something on your own stuff, or do you want to just order something from the Alibaba and sell it to the Finns, or do you want to, like getting the people on your page and then you can just point them for other pages and getting money out of that? What's like the main idea on your side? Then you start asking the person on that industry, hey, I want to start ordering stuff from China and I want to sell it on the Nordics. How should I do it? Do I do drop shipping or do I just buy a bunch of stuff on my own warehouse and start selling it? What's the smartest way? Okay, who else do you know who is doing this already? Then you have like five people and you can ask all the questions and then you can start asking from this group, hey, what are the biggest problems usually for the customers to buy something? Is it like, can they trust it? Or is it like, is this good one? Or do they need something like some kind of research for it? Do I need to get some info for my customers about this product? And they start telling you the answer, and then you just find someone who can do that. Like if you want to buy stuff from the China, and then you want to label it, okay, this one is the green one. These factories are the good ones. So you start doing material about that. Hey, this stuff is from China, but we have checked these factories. These are white ones. They are not having like children labor or nothing like that. And that might be the thing how you get your customer same time and more money compared to your competition. Solve some problem that customers already have it. Don't think too much what you are gonna do. Think more how you're going to do it and how you're going to solve the problem. Like we have this company on Switzerland where we invest in startups. And most of them that we are investing right now, we don't really have like the full understanding on the market. But thanks to the universities, we can just send the questions and the case to the professor. Is probably they tell us everything that we need to know about it. We have this product for animal care. We had like no idea, is it going to be big or small in the best case scenario? So we start contacting the pharmaceutical companies and university professionals. Hey, we have this kind of product. How does this affect? How big is the market? Who are the biggest players? And if you want to license it, how much money could we make? We were like thinking, okay, if everything goes well, we might get out, let's say, 10 million. That's good. After 1 week, when we get the answers from the United States and the European top universities, we find out that we probably could, if everything goes right, we have still a few examinations. Everything goes well, we are talking about the 300 million. they send it already all the cases. Hey, here's the company from South Korea who did the almost same thing as you, but the case is like similar as yours. And here's the numbers and here's how they do it. Because universities, they research everything. And usually the professors are very keen to give it, show them what they have done, because most of the companies don't really ask anything from them. They're usually hard workers, and they are never asked the questions, except in the United States. There they are more appreciated, but in Europe, usually they are just like lone wolves. So they are just happy that someone is interested about their professors. Their field of work. And that takes like around, we spent like 2 weeks just asking questions. That's it. That's all. And we had all the information. Then we just put the information with AI. Then we have a pitch deck. And now we are pitching it for the investors. And probably after 2 weeks from now, we will have the first round of 5 million euros to do all the next stages in this company that we are investing. Had all the data from the universities. Then we used AI to put it all together. And then we just start pitching. And how do we find those investors? It's very easy. AI. Who are the biggest investors in this field? Give me a list of all the family offices in Nordics. Give me the list of the all venture capitalists in the Nordics. Give me the way how to contact them, where they have been investing, and AI will find you all the answers about that. So you don't really need to spend hours and hours to doing the research. Have like things that you need to find because you're the AI. Just put everything there. You can ask, who is this person? What are his hobbies? What are her interests? Why is she working in this company? Probably the AI will find something if they are famous people from the internet. These days, you don't need to be even famous. I'm not famous, but the Grok still knows things about me. Because I have been on the podcast, I have been on the interviews, I've been doing the keynotes. So the AI will have found everything that needed to know about me. That's making it very, very easy to contact them because you know something about them. You can think how they would like to be talked, how they like to communicate. Like you can ask, hey, is this person active on LinkedIn? AI will tell you yes or no. Probably the AI will tell you this person is not active on LinkedIn, but on the Instagram, he's posting all the time. So you can research also the people and the business case. Then you can start having the meetings, go in there, talk with them, ask the questions. And probably the best way, in my opinion, is not really go and meet the investor and start talking about, hey, I have this idea, I want your money. It's more like talk about the idea. Because the investors are interested about the idea, and when they understand it and they start asking questions from you, you probably have the investor already on your pocket. Then it's more about talking about the numbers. Simple. And about the pitch deck, my pitch decks are looking like this. They are shitty ones. But the main thing is that because when I show the pitch deck for the investors, I probably have talking with him or her 3 hours before that on the phone or in the face-to-face or the Teams. So they know me, they know my idea, they know my needs, they know why I'm having the meeting. The pitch deck is only there to show the numbers. How we see this case. How we are going from the milestone to milestones. It's just confirming what I have already told him or her. And for the entrepreneurship, I have like a few like advice. Ask better questions. That's the main thing. Always, how can I ask this more simple way and more openly? Open questions are the key. Then you start asking more direct questions when you start hearing the right things from your opponent or your partner. And it's all about people. It's like, even these days, all the decision makers are people. So it's not always about the numbers. It's also about the feeling, like on the branding game. That's why just start talking. Doesn't matter, are you like student of the university? Are you bus driver? in this world, the top players, they don't really care. They are always looking for the people who are ready to do the work for them. They're busy guys. So if they find you and you can really like make your case, like, hey, I'm trustworthy, I'm straight shooter, I want to do the hard work, just point me in the direction, I'm ready to do the small task, I want to show my value for you, and probably they will help you, and when they see your success, they will be your partners. So it's all about the people. And just, you know, you don't really know them, you can just contact them. It doesn't really matter how famous the person is. I'm working with the Olympic team, I'm working with the top artists here in Finland. They're people like you and me. They're not more fancy than you and me. They are just more on the papers and on the social media. They have more fans, but they are just basic people. Talk with them. They even like it when you talk to them like a normal people. Because usually they're used to that people are just wanting something from them. And in this case, if you just want to know them, they can have advice how to become, for example, a rap star. What should I do? They probably tell you like, okay, you need to do this and this and this. Then you can start asking questions and it starts to be more like a mentorship. So you are not like asking money or you are not asking to have a selfie. You are more like asking advice from that person. And they are usually willing to give it because people are asking something else. And because they don't want to spend their time who are just trying to get something out of them. They are more willing to spend time with the people who are very interested about them and very interested about doing something for themselves and asking the questions how to become a better version of myself. So they usually give you more time than you can get if you start doing something work-related or something just trying to hang around them, let's say. Don't make decision out of fear. This is the one thing on the life. Usually we are thinking always, okay, what if this goes wrong? What if I make mistake? What if I ask her out and she doesn't want to go out with me? We are always like stressing ourselves out. That's like the most of the time, at least on the entrepreneurship, but also in life, it's the moment when you start to having a little pause, start thinking, what happens if she, what happens if my PowerPoint looks like this? What is the worst case scenario? But what is the best case scenario? When you know everything that can go wrong, then you need to start focusing on what can go right and what happens then. Am I ready? If she says yes, and she goes out with me, what I do next? I don't want to be there. Hey, would you like to go out with me? Yes. I have no idea what to do next because I've been only thinking about the worst case scenario. She will say no. But then you need to think about what if she say yes? What if the investor says yes? What I do next? What if my patent go through and I own it? What I do next? What if this meeting goes wrong, well, I can always learn from it. Because you can always go also again to meet someone. Let's say that you are applying for the job. And on the first time they say you, no, you are not the one that we are looking for. You can always ask, what are you looking for? What are you looking for the next year? And if it wasn't me, is it someone else? What are the qualities that the other person had? Do I need more experience? Do I need more knowledge of something? Is there something on my CV that should be better? You can always ask advice. If someone says you know, ask advice. What should I do better? How was my interview? Was I struggling with my words? Was I saying something wrong? Is there something that I can do better? Use those moments so you can learn. Not to be disappointed, just learn. It's just one no. Usually when I start doing businesses, I get 90% are no's. But because of those, I learn what I need to do next so I can get the yes. So don't be too hard for yourself. Because nothing in life has any meaning except the meaning that we give it. You can always look at more positively. Hey, my speech here in university wasn't that great. I had only a few people on the audience. So what? This is experience for me. I can make my speeches better. I can work out my English. I probably have nice questions from you guys. And I'm not really like a speaker as myself. So this is really nice opportunity to me to learn how to make speeches. Same thing in every stage of your life. Just found ways of why this was a good event for yourself. What did I learn? Okay, shit, I didn't ask the question. Well, next day you can call. I can call Sufu and say, hey, what was the great things in my speech? What was not the great things? What should I do differently? What should I didn't? What was the best takeout from my speech? And people will tell you. So you can learn. And probably because you called them and asked them, they will be like more, they are thinking more positively about you, because most of the people are never doing that. They're just taking the answer as given, not like thinking, hey, what can I achieve asking questions about this answer? Even if it wasn't positive answer for myself, I didn't get the job, for example, but I can learn what I need to do the next time. So don't be too hard for yourself. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you so much, Simu. So first of all, maybe we can ask from the class if they have any questions. So I can give mic to you. Do you have any questions?
First of all, great job on your speech, Simu. I think for me, it's like when I start something, I always think about the worst case scenario. What if this would go wrong? Something. But from your point of view, I think I won't see the same thing again, because I will see that in a different perspective. So what stuck with me is you said valuable information about like, what if we think like, you mentioned about the investors, right? So what I got these investors. And you were telling about what are the next steps that I'm going to do about it, all the positive things first. Then we can think about the worst case scenario later. Yeah. So that was a comment. But I do have a question related to how do you use your strategies to stay unique in the market? That's my first question. And when it comes to the lead generation, so do you first study the market first and build a prototype, or do you just go with your instincts and present whatever the things that you have in your mind?
Everyone who is doing this, even if they are not engaged. Why? Because when you are telling about, for example, let's say it this way. When you have a dream, I want to be like the best in some, or I want to be a millionaire, I want to be anything. The first rule, in my opinion, is that you tell about it. Anyone who is doing this. The lady on the supermarket, your neighbor, your own family, your fellow students, your teacher, just tell every one of them, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I'm going to achieve it. one day someone says, hey, my brother is actually one of the biggest investors. I don't want you to get there. So he can tell you how to do it. Or I want to be in a better shape. I want to start doing more like, I want to run my part. Hey, my friend is actually running marathon, so I can put you together. And you're telling your story to people or not. Usually it's like 90% you get nothing else out of it. Hey, great idea. Good for you. But you just need the one person who knows one thing and put you together. And that's the idea why you need to talk everything that you are like planning or wanting to achieve. Just step out. Tell it to everyone so they can help. Willing to tell your dreams, the widest dreams, because otherwise people don't know them, and they can't help you if you don't tell them. That's the one rule, and that's in female, something that people does. Because we are all like, oh, I'm not going to tell them about anything new, but I'm just being confident, I don't know that. It's not bragging, it's dreaming. And everybody wants to hear dreams. That's when we're watching the next. We want to have something in our life. And if someone else is going there, it's also inspiring you. Hey, why should I start thinking of the animals? Why should I run a marathon? So that's our test. It's telling a story. Everyone who's doing this. It doesn't matter if you're doing it on that. It doesn't matter if you're doing a group or that's for a run. Just do it. So everyone will know. Then there's nothing to speak about. Justin is going to be a millionaire. I don't know how she's going to do it. She's going to be a millionaire. Hey, Justin, smart girl. Come on, meet her. Maybe I can help. Or maybe we can do something together. Just open your mouth. Don't be afraid. What's the first thing? It's like people, okay, nice. That's it.
Great. You have follow up?
Yeah, the other one is, I think you covered strategies to say unique in the market. I think you covered both in. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you for your presentation. Actually, it was interesting. Actually, I was motivated from your talk, and I'm from the environment background. Can I know what is your company, and do you have any environment sustainability targets, and what is your corporate environment sustainability targets or strategies in your company? Is it relevant to you? Can I know about
compensation for every flight, and then we choose the plane that is most environment friendly plane. It's a DI-62 small plane, and it's used less fuel than the most planes in that size. That's environment. Otherwise, the investing, when we are doing the investments in the company, we, of course, most of them are very regulated. Between the environment side and the profit. And that's the thing is most of the time, well, when we are investing as a company for myself, those are like not the first questions that we ask, but they are usually when people are doing great products, for example. Let's say the water. We use the glass bottles, which is better for the environment. So usually the great companies already have answers for them, even
they are not thinking about it. And that's the one thing is that usually, like, I'm not investing in companies who are like, where I can be low. I know that every company is going to make there, but still the idea of having my own company for that. Then the other way is the sustainability is, well, I think these days it's very easy because if you think about the sustainability way, it's also more profitable for your company because you will start thinking how to make this better and faster, not only like cheaper.
Okay, so if no one has a question, maybe I have a couple of questions. But before that, Simmo, thanks a lot. Your talk has been very comprehensive, and it covers many aspects. There were things about the entrepreneur as an individual. I can see, you know, the things about social networks. You mentioned about network. I think if I just focus on two main things from the talk, so one is like approaching other people, that is the social network, and the second one is the asking the right questions and keeping things very simple. So why do you think this network, approaching other people, is so much important? We have been talking about in the earlier classes that entrepreneurs, they remain open, they meet other people, they build up their network, that is the social capital element. And the same thing what we are hearing from you, that you are so much emphasizing on the social network, approaching other people, and not only in Finland, not only within Europe. You have been approaching people in Middle East, you have been approaching people in Australia, in US. You mentioned about Portugal and so many international networks. So why do you think so that they are so important? And Then you also talked about other people very positively, and the life is not always positive. So what were some of the challenges you faced while, you know, building these connections over time? And what is your advice for the students?
That's why I'm always connecting with them. Because they probably remember anything. Okay? And they will be more straightforward. I'm not like working on the parents and just waiting to see something. I'm just calling them. And if they don't answer, I send the SMS behind them. Hey, I just need more episode. I'm not talking to you. Have to keep things down. Just a little time. I like to be very. Trust is something that you really need to create first. And most of the things about trust is how you behave. Are you telling what you are thinking? Are you playing games? Are you putting all the cards on the table? Well, from this side, we go to the next question about trust. Most of the people are teachers, but they are even asking. Most of the people are. That's the part of your effect. And just understand that you give away stuff that is all right that they will use. And I've got an MBA, which is also really important. In the business side, but in the social network, just I was fully going to speak about curious and very long. And it was very hard to trust people. Then I went actually this kind of event. I don't know if you know the office.
Same as that in a relationship. It's always a struggle. Same thing on the job.
Yeah, great, Simu. Thanks a lot again. And sorry, I mean, for the attendance, the thing was this course was actually supposed to be organized in October. And I was in US for 6 months, and this course is organized in April. So we don't have many registrations. And secondly, usually the classes are in Agora building, which is the other building and more accessible for the students. And in this room, the class was put here. So I think that is the reason. But I think on the other side, all the students who have registered, it is a requirement that they will watch this lecture online, this speech online, and they will have to write a reflection on this, what they have learned and what were the main topics. And I think the basic idea is to convey message to the students, and so that they can learn. And we together have served that purpose, and the message will go across to all the students who even have not been here in the class. And with that, thanks a lot again for your time. I really enjoyed the discussion, and there has been many new things for me also, like I'm taking the message of simplicity from your talk, and I think that's a cool lesson. And then again, as I mentioned, there are many other cool points what you have mentioned, and greatly appreciate your time. Thanks a lot. I think with that, we can continue with the boring part. We can have a session for 10 to 15 minutes. Because academics and models, they are always boring, you know. So, how was the session? Did you guys enjoy it? Okay. You can take this mic if you will ask some questions so it can come in recording. Okay, so with that, we were discussing in our last session about the venture idea. And we discussed about two things in our last session. One was about external enablers, and the other concept was identifying new venture idea and how we can share that idea with the other audiences. And as you can see in our guest lecture speaker's talk, he was talking about presenting idea to the investors and also talking to many other people in the network, friends and family. And if you will go back to the slides on the idea generation, you have a table over there in the slides where I have put, you know, some guidelines, what kind of content we usually share when we are meeting with other people in our social networks. For example, when we are meeting with our family, we have to talk differently. When we are meeting investors, we have to talk differently. But one thing we should keep in mind is that there is no one recipe for best presentation and best discussion of the idea. But we need to have good ideas. And as it was visible from the speech, that he started from one idea, which was about real estate. And then later on, he came up with other ideas. Then different people came on board. And that is generally how the entrepreneurship journey begins. And if you remember, at the start of the session, in the first session, when we were discussing, it was about openness, meeting other people, discussing with them, and learning from them. Going out and interacting with people from different backgrounds somehow makes you more entrepreneurial, and that is one of the source of ideas from where you can get new ideas. And then from his speech, you can also see the external enablers. He mentioned in the speech about artificial intelligence, and even you can see the extent of use of artificial intelligence, that he is asking the artificial intelligence tool to tell his story. I mean, this is an extreme use, that you are just asking, find information on the internet and tell me your tell all information about me. And then about artificial intelligence, finding and searching different venture capitals, funders, and different people on the internet, that was also being talked about. So it also, you know, gives us an indication what we were discussing in our yesterday's session, how different external enablers, different environments in the external environment, including technology, artificial intelligence, and other types of environment, they facilitate the business functions. They facilitate creation of new ideas. They facilitate starting of new businesses and so on and so forth. So that was quite visible from the speech, and I hope it can easily be linked with the content of the session, what we were discussing yesterday. So after that, now what we have is, from the previous session, we have external enablers, that is the external environment. And we have idea, business idea. And sometimes we may have more than one business idea. When we are thinking about the problems in the environment, we may come up with a set of business ideas. And we have to select one business idea at the start, which we want to work on. So what it requires is, you need to have confidence on the business idea, until and unless you don't have confidence. So keep in mind this word confidence. Confidence is basically the extent of your belief on the idea, what you have thought. So if you are confident about what? Confident about idea on different dimensions. You are confident that the idea will work. You are confident that the different elements of the business idea. You are confident that the product and service you will design for the business, that will the customers will buy that. There will be supplier, investors will invest into that. Customers will buy that idea. Employees will come and join me to make that idea happen. So that is the product and service. And then you are also confident that there will be market for the idea. You are also confident that you will be able to build a business out of it, out of that idea. So all it needs is that from the idea, when you are evaluating the idea, whenever we are evaluating anything in life, so when we are evaluating something, it can be evaluation of the exams,
when we are evaluating the exam. So we have a certain criteria on which we are assessing something. So here what we are assessing is the idea, the business idea. And what is the criteria on which we are assessing the business idea? And when we assess the business idea and becomes confident that this idea will work, we are more likely to take actions to make that idea happen. But if we are not confident on the business idea, then it's more likely that we are not going to take actions on that business idea. But here, it's also important to understand the difference between the concept of idea and opportunity. So idea can be something in the environment, but opportunity has a positive connotation. So when an idea becomes an opportunity, yesterday somebody mentioned an idea that there can be, you know, sockets in the classroom, on different chairs. So that can be an idea. But now the question is whether that idea is an opportunity for you or not. Is that an opportunity for you? Maybe not. It may be why it is not an opportunity for you. Because it doesn't match your skills and abilities. It doesn't match your vision. It doesn't match your future plans. It doesn't fit with your social networks. It doesn't fit you with your knowledge. And they are the reasons, they could be the reasons, the idea may not be exciting enough. So there could be multiple reasons because of which the idea is not an opportunity, but idea is there. There are ideas in the market. There are ideas to do business in Finland. There may be ideas to do business in Europe. There may be ideas to do business at international level. But they may not be opportunity for you. And when we see that idea from this perspective, that whether it is an opportunity for me or not, we evaluate it positively and subjectively. And then we take into account two things. One, the idea. And the second thing is we also bring into evaluation our own skills and abilities. And we combine these two. And if we become confident that yes, the idea is innovative, risk and worthy to pursue, valuable, feasible, and it matches with my skills, abilities and my future plans, then you become more confident on the idea, and then it goes to the next stage, which is the opportunity evaluation. Then you start building up the business. So with that, I think I have covered most of the things about idea evaluation. We had an activity which I think we will not be able to do because of two things. One, we have little time. And the second thing is we don't have many students. So, but let's see. So you got that idea of, you know, opportunity confidence. So when you are evaluating an idea, the point number four is interesting here. Even two is also interesting. Sometimes you overestimate and sometimes you underestimate. So what is the right estimation of skills and idea? It's subjective. There are few important elements here. So your judgment is important here. Your perception is important. These are some of the concepts which are playing role here. And interestingly, if you look at point number four, that is very interesting here. So opportunity confidence emerges from social interactions. So it's like, if there are two people sitting in the class, you just notice that when we are interacting with someone in the class or outside of the class, you will notice that our perceptions change. We don't observe it. We don't realize it. But when we are talking and we have shared ideas, our thinking changes because of the interactions. So same is the case when you are evaluating the idea and sharing the idea with your friends and family, sharing the idea with your team members, sharing the idea with investors, sharing the idea now with also artificial intelligence based tools now. So when you are sharing the idea, are searching more information about the idea, so with these social interactions, that idea confidence also develops. So it might be the case that you may have an idea to work on something and you may not be confident on the idea. But when you may share that idea with your teacher, with your friends, and they might, you know, come up with the opinion that, hey, that is a great idea. And then you may become more confident. You may have an idea and when you will share that idea with someone who has technical knowledge, for example, about IT, and you may become, based on the positive feedback, you may become more confident on the idea. You may become less confident on the idea. And we always have, you know, these social interactions. So because of the social interactions, our opportunity confidence, that is the, as I discussed earlier, it also varies. It changes. This was the exercise. If you can do it at home, you can read this short case study, and then at the right hand you can see this Google Doc. When you will open it, there is a questionnaire. If you fill that questionnaire, you will notice based on that, I built that questionnaire based on the readings and literature and everything, just to give you an idea how an idea is being evaluated. And you will notice that when we are evaluating the idea, so this is the criteria usually we follow. We want to see in the idea that, is there need in the market for the idea? Are there enough customers? Like he was selling water in US. Why not in Finland? Because there are not enough customers. He was approaching people in UAE. Why? Because there is, you know, market need for certain ideas and certain products and services. So you need to see that whether there is the market, whether the idea can be profitable. And what is the profit? Profit means you will pay salaries, you will develop the idea, and there will be many other expenses to make that idea happen. And when you will sell it to the customers, can that idea become profitable now or over time? That is another important thing, because if an idea or business is not profitable, it cannot sustain. So the idea should be profitable. So some of the ideas may be very interesting, but they may not be a profitable, you know, opportunity. They cannot turn into profit because of the high cost and many other aspects. So in that sense, that idea should not be pursued further. Thanks for the very nice question about sustainability to the entrepreneur. So we also evaluate the ideas nowadays on the environmental and social impact. I think that's very important, and it creates a positive image, and entrepreneurs, I suggest and I encourage entrepreneurs to think of sustainability from the start of their business when they are thinking about the business idea, what kind of environmental impact or social impact these ideas will have. And there is a whole field of entrepreneurship called social entrepreneurship, where you can, you know, see more of this kind of impact, and there is whole set of literature. But we are not discussing that literature in this course, because it's again a basics level course, and it will, you know, take us too much away from that. Fourth point is scalability. That's also very important. So when you are thinking about an idea, you have to think of scalability. Whether that idea can be scaled at the national level, at the global level, at the European level, regional level, at what level? What is the problem you are trying to solve? And whether that idea, at which stage it can be, you can reach with that idea. So initially it is the time when you are evaluating the idea. So that is the time to think about the scalability. How much scalability is possible? Then you turn to the feasibility part. You also see the feasibility, or what is organizational feasibility? So organizational feasibility, just to give you an example, we are sitting in a university. University has a rector, and then there are different departments. So it's an organization with different departments. and different processes. There is an admission process, there is a course registration process, there are processes for other tasks to be performed. So same is the case when you are thinking of a business idea. So business idea is not only about product. It is also about resources. It is also about processes. So you have to think that when you will implement an idea, whether it is feasible to create an organization around it. That is a very important question to think about the business idea and to become confident. If you cannot create an organization, and that organization, by the way, does not mean that it should be close organization. It can be that you can take benefit from your networks. You have the networks in Finland, otherwise around the world. If those networks, mentors and other people, they can be external, but they can help you in implementing the business idea and scaling the business idea, but you need to make this assessment at the start. Market feasibility, as I talked earlier, is there any market for the product and service? And that is one thing. But feasibility is another thing. Okay, there is a market for the idea, but do you have the resources and capabilities to sell that idea to US, to India, or to other markets? So that is again the feasibility question about market. Financial feasibility. Do you have enough financial resources for marketing, sales, human resources, other types? So for example, feasibility from level 1 to 5. Yes, it is at level 5. It's feasible. It's doable. Organizationally, it is feasible. Market feasibility is there. The idea is great. There is market. Its environmental impact is low. It is scalable. So all these factors, they are giving you confidence, and then that idea is becoming desirable. There is another element of desirability. That is the last element. So feasibility, if the feasibilities are high, then the idea's desirability is going to be high for you. And that idea, I mean, now it's becoming the opportunity. It doesn't remain idea anymore because it has become desirable for you, higher desirability, and then you are more likely to implement that new venture idea, and it's the opportunity for you, and you are going to build business out of it. There are a couple of more frameworks. We will not talk about that. It's optional. You can read about that if you want. But I just included them into the slide. So some of you maybe, you know, more interested to learn more. But it's not mandatory to read those two frameworks. One of these is Michael's Porter's 5 Forces model. It is basically about industry attractiveness, so profitability of the industry. So sometimes if you are in an industry, that industry is not profitable because there is so much competition. It's very easy to come for others to into the market. It's so much competitive. Bargaining power of your suppliers is very high. Customers' bargaining power is also very high. So if that is the situation and you are entering into that industry, so the attractiveness of the industry is very low. So that is the industry assessment, industry feasibility. It's not only the idea, your organization, but also you need to assess the industry. And you can all do that with another framework. It's again optional. I'm just giving you a brief idea with the help of SWOT analysis. So in SWOT, what we have is we have strengths, weaknesses, threats, and opportunities. So threats and opportunities, they are related to external enablers, external environment, artificial intelligence, society, politics, or whatever. They can be positive or they can be negative. Negative threats and positive are opportunities. And then you can see your own strengths. We have done that exercise already in the previous sessions, your own knowledge, skills, abilities, capital, mindset, and all of that. Then you can note down your own weaknesses in the right hand box and look at different combinations, how your strengths can enable you to avail opportunities, how your strengths can enable you to avoid threats, how can you improve on your weaknesses to avoid threats. How can you improve on your weaknesses to avail the opportunities? And that is called very famous framework. It is called SWOT analysis. That can also help you to evaluate different type of ideas and business opportunities to move through to the next stages. So with that, thanks a lot for your time and attention and for coming to the class. So we have completed our third week, session number 6. And we have 7 more sessions. And there was a mistake in my instructions. I will send you an email about that. Because I mentioned that you have to write reflections from session 1 to 7. And today is our session 6. And there is the deadline of April 27. So I think I will send an email tonight that we can postpone the deadline in the first week of May, so you can have more time, and we will have our session number 7 next week. So after that session, you can submit your reflections. I will write an email to every one of you after that. So I'm just saying here, so it comes into the recording for those who are not watching it. But again, thanks a lot, and have very nice rest of the day, and hopefully see you next week. Bye.